Listen, it is by far the greatest thing in the world to be saved. There is nothing else that you could ever even dream of. Millions of dollars won't do it. Billions of dollars won't do it. Fame and fortune won't do it. Than having all your sins taken away. Having peace with God himself. There's nothing greater than that. And I just love the Lord. Amen. You do have $1 million? Amen. I can't wait to see that offering. Praise Jesus. Amen. God is good. Amen. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2, please. I have a short little thing. I just want to, that God is just, he just brought it to me, and it's just easy and it's fun and it's something that we need to do and to know. Titus chapter 2. Say amen when you're there. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
The children are having fun, Greg. Amen. The children are having fun. How about the older folks? Were you having fun too?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to see you back there, Andy. Amen. In Titus chapter 2, are you there? We're going to look at verse 11 down to 15. It says this. You ready? I want everyone to see it. Nobody left behind. It says, for the what? Grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I just want to say, you can live godly in this present world. So many times we, oh, this world, you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't live a sanctified, holy life. Yes, you can.
Amen.
You can. Absolutely can. And it goes on. Look what it says. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Someone say amen right there. I love it when the Bible says with the capital G, the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love that. Goes on to say, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. I think he's got that down. Zealous, though, zealous of good works. And then he says, and he gives me, and he gives you, but he's talking to Titus, the preacher, the pastor of the church, and he gives him this thing. He says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. And what he was talking about here is these three things, and I'll be done. It's a very quick little message, but I want to get it into our minds. I want to get it hammered into us so that we'll always remember that. In verse 11, in the beginning, it says, for the grace of God. You know what it says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? How many people know that verse? Amen. Can you want to quote it, Greg? Go ahead. Ooh, what's it say? For by?
It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves.
It's a gift to God, not of works. Amen. For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen. You know what grace is? Grace is something that's given to you that you don't deserve. You know, grace is extended by God unto you because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You know that, don't you? Jesus Christ, not even knowing you, so to speak, you didn't know him. You weren't there. You weren't even born yet. And yet he sent his son to die for you. And he knew in the future that you were going to need a savior. Amen. He knew that you would need something to take care of your sins so that you could have peace with God. So because of what Jesus did on the cross, God now gives his grace to the whole world.
Amen.
The whole world. Even the Muslims and the terrorists, everyone has the grace given to them. And it says right here that for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. So the first thing I want to say, what does grace bring? It brings salvation.
Amen.
What does grace bring to you? It brings salvation. I love that. And then it goes on and it says, teaching us. So not only does grace bring us something, but it teaches us something. Too many people use grace as a crutch to sin. Too many people use grace as a crutch to do what they want to do. I know way too many, and I wish I did. People that were once in our church. People that were once friends of mine. And now they're out of church because they said, I'm under grace, I don't have to do anything. And they continue in their sin. And the Bible actually says, should we continue in sin that grace would abound? God forbid, no. So we know that grace brings us something. It brings us salvation. But grace also teaches us. That grace that saves us doesn't finish there. God bless you. That grace that saves us now continues to do something in us, and it teaches us something. Look what it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So you know what grace teaches us? Grace teaches us sanctification. Grace brings us salvation, and it teaches us sanctification. Grace is pretty amazing stuff. Amen. And then it goes on. It tells us something else, that this grace that saves and this grace that sanctifies, it does something else. Look what it says, looking for that blessed hope. The grace that came to you on the day you got saved, do you remember that day? Do you remember the day you got saved? Do you remember? Do you remember? Anybody here forgot it? If you ever forgot the day you got saved, then you didn't get saved. You'll never, ever forget the time the grace of God appeared to you and you received the grace. You see, just because the grace is given to you, and I wrote down, grace is extended, but not always apprehended. Grace is extended to all men everywhere, but not always apprehended by all men everywhere. I wish, wouldn't it be great if, tell me if I'm wrong, but you know the Catholics, they have the holy water, you know what I mean? And they have a baby comes up and they sprinkle a little water on that baby's head. And according to their teaching and doctrine, that baby's now eternally saved. But then they teach you, you're not eternally saved because now you have to keep all the sacraments that we give you. And then you're still not eternally saved. Then you have to do all the things we say and be all the things we say. And if you die, you have to die in the state of grace. Then only by putting oil on your head and saying the last rites. And then you're still not saved. Then you go to purgatory and you burn and you pay for your sins. Until we, the priests, pray you out. That's crazy, isn't it? They tell you you're saved by being sprinkled with a little water. Wouldn't it be great if some holy water would just save everybody? Man, I'd be sprinkling it on everybody. I'd go right to my family, sprinkle it on them. I'd go down to prison, sprinkle it on them. I'd go to the White House, sprinkle it on them. I'd go everywhere, man, sprinkling a little water on them. But that doesn't save anybody, does it? It's the grace of God. It's extended to all of us, but it's not apprehended from everybody. And I want to say this, that as he says, looking for that blessed hope, what this grace does is it comes to you and it gives you salvation. The grace brings salvation. Then it teaches us separation and sanctification. And then it makes us always looking. And where is a man or a woman that's been saved by grace, that has the grace of God, they've apprehended the grace of God? What is it that they have? They have a salvation. What is it that they have? They have a sanctification. But all the stuff that God's given us is for one thing, to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you have God's grace tonight? Do you know it's here? It's appeared to all men. Don't you know God's grace is here for anyone and everyone? At any time, at any moment, you can receive God's grace because it's here for you. It never goes away. You can't sin it away. Think about that. You cannot run away from the grace of God. You cannot hide from grace of God. You can't drink yourself in oblivion out of a bottle from the grace of God. The grace of God's always there. It'll never go away until we look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing in Jesus Christ returns, and that grace is going to end. Kind of weird when you think about it. The grace ends when he comes. You know why? Because the Bible talks about faith. And it says, things that you see, you don't need faith. And that's why we talk about by sight. One day I'm going to see him face to face. One day I'm going to know him eyeball to eyeball. And I won't need faith then, as they say, because I'll see him as he is. And he'll know me as I am. The grace that's given to us today, right now, on every single person, it's What great, this is the three things I want you to understand. What has grace brought? I want you to say salvation. Ready? Salvation. What has grace brought?
Salvation.
What has grace brought?
Salvation.
Very good. What has grace taught? Sanctification. Who said that? The Krauses. God bless the Krauses. She's a good student. She knows. What has grace taught? Sanctification. What has grace brought? Salvation. What has grace taught? Sanctification. What has grace brought? Salvation. What has grace taught? Sanctification. Now, what has grace sought? What is the grace of God that's given to all of us looking for? The grace that has appeared to all men. It's looking for something. And this is what it says. Look what it says right here. It says in verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, say it out loud, zealous of good works. This grace, what grace sought is service. God didn't save you, save us, to just sit on our blessed assurances and do nothing. God saved us to make us serve him. Do you know in the book of Exodus, when God sent Moses, remember, you know, let my people go. Everyone knows that story, right? Well, you know what Moses always told Pharaoh that God told him that he wanted the people for? To serve him. He called the people out, not to party, not to sit around and enter into the promised land, but to serve him, to serve the Lord your God. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that you can have grace to be saved, so that you can have grace to sanctify you, so that you can have grace that will make you zealous of good works. And so the third thing is what grace sought, it sought service. What grace brought is salvation. What grace taught is sanctification. What grace sought is service. I think we got the salvation part of it down. As we ask for praises, everyone says, I praise the Lord for my salvation, right? And you should, amen? Everyone's glad to be saved. Is there anyone here not glad to be saved? I want to talk, go around the world and just take interviews. Are you glad? Are you saved? I am born again. Are you glad or are you not glad? I want to wait the guy and say, I hate that I'm saved. I hate I'm going to heaven. I want to go to hell. I haven't met that person yet, Dave. You know what I mean? So the truth of the matter is everybody's glad to be saved, but not everybody is glad what the salvation, the grace of God is trying to teach us. It's trying to make us holy. It's trying to make us clean. It's trying to make us sober. It's trying to make us righteous. It's trying to make us godly in this present world, not in that world. Don't ever give me that excuse. Well, I'll be perfect someday when I get there. No, God says you can be perfect now. How? By the grace of God. Remember Apostle Paul? He said God gave him a thorn in the flesh. He said only for the reason to humble him. He said because I've been taken into third heaven. I've heard things that no one else has heard. I know things no one else knows. I have the gifts of all prophecy, all knowledge, all knowing. He said unless I got puffed up, God gave me this devil to in my thorn in my flesh to keep me humble. So I didn't like it. I didn't like it. So I went to God three times. God, please take it from me. He didn't. So I said, did it again and again. And finally, what did God say? God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And that grace that God gave to Paul made him zealous of good works to serve the Lord. Isn't it Paul that said, I fought the good fight of faith? Isn't it? Paul says, I look forward to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Isn't it Apostle Paul said, I've run the race, I fought the fight, I'm going on. See, being zealous of good works, this is where we all like to settle on our grace with like peanut butter on a jelly sandwich. Oh yeah, baby, I got it. That's good. That's all I need. You get the peanut butter, you get the bread. You put the peanut butter on the bread, and you get the jelly, put it on the bread, you put it together, you're done. PB&Js, baby. How many people like PB&J? Everyone, me too, I love them. Sometimes I'll be sitting around and my wife will say, what do you want for dinner? I'm like, I don't know. And my head pop, peanut butter and jelly. For dinner, I love it. But the problem is some people treat, what's that? I know. When it's hot and you put the peanut butter, I like honey roasted peanut butter. And then you put it on the hot toast, it kind of melts in there. I'm talking some great stuff. Well, when you get saved, you have the grace of God, and everyone's like, yeah, I got it, and they put it together, and they think that's it, and I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm just going to enjoy my salvation. But I'm sorry, but it's so much more than that. It's sanctification. It's sanctification. God's grace wasn't just given to you to save you. It was given you to make you holy like him. And what he says here is he gave himself for us. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us, purchase us back from all sin, all iniquities, and that he would purify unto himself a peculiar people. People that are so peculiar on a Sunday night, they come out and they sing songs. They clap. They praise God. They eat peanut butter and jellies. Amen. And they're zealous of good works. Before I finish this, I just want you to, what has grace brought? Thank you, Dave. You get a gold star. What has grace brought? No, you're not listening. What has grace brought? What has grace taught? And what has grace sought? Service. Amen. Those three things are pretty simple things. They're pretty simple. And I also just want to say, because the content of this teaching is threefold. It's all got threes in it. What we must leave, how we should live, and what we should look for. The grace of God tells us that we must leave some things once you get saved. Once you get saved, then how do you know grace of God appears to you? Because now that grace makes you leave things. It leaves your old friends. You leave your old acquaintances. You leave your old habitations. You leave your old places you used to go and used to things you used to do. Is it or is it not true? I remember when Greg first got saved and was got or whatever. I just remember preacher talking about music, rock music, and get rid of it. And Greg must have had $2,000-$3,000 worth of CDs. And he went home and he threw them all in a trash bag and threw them out. I mean, on his own. I remember he did that. Remember that, Greg? That was a lot of money in CDs. And you, praise God. You see, what makes someone do that? It's the grace of God. And then, so if that grace can make you do that and throw out your CDs and get rid of your old rock and roll and get rid of your rap and get rid of your junk and all that wicked music. I call it wicked because it is. It is. And all it's meant for, yes, some of it sounds good. And yes, some of it's, I like listening to it and you like listening to it, but it's not good for you. All it's there for is to lure you away from God. That's all it's there for, is to lure you away. And so therefore, and forget that, that's a whole nother story, but the grace that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Has it appeared unto you? Has it appeared unto you? And what did it do? It saved you. It brought salvation. But that grace also is teaching us. Teaches us. Denying ungodliness. We got to deny things that are ungodly. Can you say amen to that? That's what it's teaching me. It teaches us that we should live soberly. Can I get an amen to that? We should live righteously. Can I get an amen to that? And we should live godly in this present world. And then it tells us that we should be looking for something. I don't know about you, but there's something inside of me. Oh, there's something in me. I'm looking for it. You ever have one of those days where just you feel something? You're like, I'm waiting for the trumpet to sound. I'm waiting here to, you know, like that. So I'm like, I'm looking for the blessed hope. I'm looking for the glorious appearing. I have something inside of me that's stirring. I got something in me, Bob. You know, and it's not Rocky in the basement stuff. I'm talking about it's Jesus Christ stuff. It's God. It's the grace of God in me that I know he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. And he tells us to look for it. He says, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing. So he tells us how we should live. He tells us what we should look for, too. He set us free. He set us apart. He set us on fire. He set us free. Someone say amen. And he also set you apart. Someone say amen. And he wants to set you on fire. We need all of us here enjoy our salvation. Someone say amen. Do you enjoy your sanctification? Thank you, Dave. Do you really enjoy your sanctification? That's the thing. Being scrubbed up, being cleaned up. I'm so grateful that God's taken things from me. I'm so grateful he's taken cigarettes, and drinking, and drugs, and lying, and cheating, and stealing. Remember when we first got saved and the pastor would come to the house on Thursdays with Tommy Moak, remember? We were like, oh no, the pastor's here. I would look like for magazines. I would look in my refrigerator for beers. I would look for, and all of a sudden after a while I realized I have nothing to hide. Come on in. I felt good. Like I was clean. And I remember because I was a roofer, I was like, I sure hope I don't say anything. You know, like say the bad word in front of the pastor. And all of a sudden next thing I know, I don't curse anymore. God cleaned me out. It was such a good feeling. I like getting scrubbed. You know what I'm saying? I'm serious. Clean me up, Lord. I'll take a breath. I'll take a bubble bath. I'll take a scrub. Whatever he's got to do, man, clean me up. Do you really enjoy being sanctified? Well, if you do, and you say you do, then stop being so worrisome about things when the Bible tells you stop doing this and stop doing that. Stop saying, oh, well, you're being legalistic. Let's just go all the way and let God clean us all the way. And let him work on us the way he's supposed to. Because the grace of God that brought your salvation is also the grace of God that teaches us sanctification. And it's also the grace of God that's seeking, that's sought. It brought, it taught, and it sought. It's seeking right now. Now, how many people can honestly say, and we'll finish right here, that I'm saved tonight? You can, everyone in the room. That means that the grace of God appeared to you, didn't it? Brought salvation to you. Now, how many people can say, I honestly can say, I know that that grace is also sanctifying me. Raise your hand. Amen. Now, that everyone raise their hand. The last one, and we'll finish. That grace is seeking now something from you. But here, this isn't the message, but he's seeking something from you. God's looking for you to serve. He's looking for you to serve. We should have every single person in the church willing to do something. I'm going to start the prison ministry back up. I'm looking for some men that will come and go with me. I don't know exactly what date it is, and I don't know the time, but I want you to start thinking, where can you serve the Lord? And I want you to think about this. Once a month, 1 hour a month. Please, say it with me. Say once a month. Say 1 hour. It's nursing home. No, you don't have to repeat that one. It's nursing home. Once a month for 1 hour. Just everyone should come to the nursing home. It should be so. It is the greatest, easiest, coolest, fun ministry. It really is. I mean, the people there, they love you. They're so happy to see you. They sing. They praise. They got their hands up. It's so much fun. So why isn't everyone getting involved in that? And the prison ministry. And the visitation ministry. And the Sunday school ministries. And Sunday, you know, teaching ministries. Whatever it is, we need to get involved. God wants us to serve. And I'll tell you right now where you can serve. And I tell you right now where Miss Pat is probably the queen of this, handing out gospel tracts. Just everywhere you go, hand out tracts. Make it your job that I'm going to just hand everybody a gospel tract. And that, you know, that's what it's seeking, that it's seeking for service. Amen. Amen. We're done. That's done right now. I'm going to ask Brother Cliff. Brother Cliff, why don't you play something for us? And why don't we stand to our feet? And before we go home and finish this week out, why don't we pray? When we seek God's face, when we come to this altar and bow before the Lord and worship him in the spirit of holiness, in the beauty of holiness, why don't we come and just tell him how awesome he is, how beautiful he is, how much we love him, how much we thank him. Why don't we thank him for the grace of God? You can't run from it. Can't hide from it. It's always there. You know, it makes me wonder, though. The grace that's extended isn't always apprehended. Music plays, let your spirit be stirred in you. Why don't you tell God right now and offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service? Why don't you not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you could prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life? He wants you to serve. He wants you to serve. Maybe you need some more sanctification. Why don't you ask God, ask the Holy Spirit, ask the grace of God. Clean me, Lord. Wash me, Lord. Scrub me down, Lord. Whatever it takes, clean me. Make me holy, righteous, and godly in this present world. Many of us in this room, we need to just serve. To serve the Lord. In whatever capacity, why don't you offer yourself now? By the grace of God that brings your salvation, he also teaches us, but he sought He sought you, you know. Many are called, but few are chosen. He's looking for who will serve. Serve the Lord with him. Why don't you offer yourself tonight? Why don't you talk to him and ask him, Lord, lead me to where you want me to serve. Teach me what you want me to do. God, I'm yours. I'm giving you my will. Offer yourself unto the Lord. You can trust him. He'll never leave you. He'll never let you down. And he wants to use you.